Tales from Tondlandia presents Darkling Drake, written and read by Ton Krakowski. Episode 3, The Deal. Barely more than a hatchling. Unique. Possibly our only hope. Doesn't comprehend her power. Quiet, she's waking. The low buzz of voices stopped abruptly as I gradually became aware of my surroundings. Still foggy from the shock of being discovered on an impromptu scouting mission and the suddenness of the attack that knocked me out, I took my time gathering my wits. I didn't think I was in any immediate danger. If they wanted to kill me, I'd already be dead. I cracked open my eyes, only to be rewarded with an almost palpable darkness. Where the hell am I? I was lying on my back on something that felt like rock, and I could feel heat radiating through my riding leathers. I sensed a presence, more than one, nearby, but my night vision was taking forever to adapt, and I couldn't see a thing. A soft scraping sound accompanied by a muffled cough confirmed my suspicions. I know you're there, assholes. You'd better start talking before I get even more pissed. I eased myself up to sitting cross-legged and waited impatiently for a response. The warmth radiating from the floor slightly eased a cramp building in the back of my thigh. That, and the fact that I had never been in darkness so complete that I could feel it smothering me, convinced me to stretch out my recovery even more. I may have to fight my way out, and the gifts of sight and an absence of charley horses would be an advantage. I was pretty sure I was going to need every advantage I could get soon enough. "Very well, Miss Drake," countered a masculine voice with more than a hint of a long-suffering sigh. "You have been brought here by the council." "What council?" I interrupted testily. My eyesight was improving by the second. I could now make out a large cavern populated by at least 9 figures. I needed to buy a little more time to process the details and find a way out. I rubbed my thigh absently as I studied the figures, trying to make out which one was the smoking-hot, blue-eyed demon that got the drop on me. "I owe you one, baby, and I always repay my debts," I thought with a feral grin. "If you would let me continue," came the irritated response. "Of course, Your Majesty," I sneered. "By all means, carry on with your bullshit." I casually leveraged my protesting body to standing and took a mental inventory of every ache and pain that I was going to take out of these jackasses' hides. I hadn't been in a good fight in ages. 9-1 might not be the best odds, I mused. I better take it easy on them.
"I will not tolerate this,"
shouted the voice, now pitched noticeably higher in outrage. "She is a disrespectful, foul-mouthed little—" "Calm yourself, Wyman," interjected a husky, feminine voice. "The method you employed to bring her here was not approved by the matriarch, and Miss Drake obviously did not appreciate the rough handling. That, in addition to her kind's intense dislike for being underground, could prove disastrous. Even now, she is most likely planning to do us harm and escape."
"You got that right, sister."
I noted that each of the figures was clad in a dark cloak, like some bad horror movie villain. And the cavern wasn't just large, it was immense. My night vision was almost 100% now, and I still couldn't make out the walls or the ceiling. Somehow the enormity of the cave made me feel even more closed in. Trapped. Buried. How did that woman know that I'm a little claustrophobic? And what did she mean by my kind? I wondered as I fought the panic starting to rise in my throat. "Hey, Council of Assholes, remember me? Somebody better start explaining what the fuck is going on or I'm going to lose my temper, got it?"
I had to keep them talking, and the best way to do that was by being myself. Besides, the profanity provided the dual benefit of calming me and irritating Wyman. I still hadn't found the door. I was starting to sweat. How can it be so fucking hot in here? Please stop threatening us and plotting your escape for just a moment and listen. This request came from a figure slightly larger than the rest. It was the deep-voiced woman who had laid a little smackdown on my buddy Wyman and so easily figured out my plan. We do not wish to harm you. In fact, we need your help. In return, we will tell you about your family. Even though finding out about my past was my objective, and the only reason that I was in this mess in the first place, her words made me even more suspicious. I narrowed my eyes as the right side of my mouth twitched up into a half-snarl. I find it hard to believe that the council of assholes that snatched me and tossed me in some underground dump could possibly know anything about my life. And if you think for a moment that I'm going to help you to anything but a long hospital stay, you're wrong. A huge shape behind the figures fluidly detached itself from the remaining darkness. Startled, I froze. What the hell was that? Tony Drake, I am the matriarch of this clutch, such as it is. A sultry baritone and yet undeniably feminine voice materialized from the inky darkness. I apologize for your treatment. It was not what I had intended, and those responsible will be punished accordingly. But time is critical. And you need to understand your heritage in order to understand why you must help us. I rubbed my eyes. Whatever the matriarch was, she was huge. Her bulk claimed reaches of the immense cavern that I still couldn't see. As she spoke, I could hear a scaly, slithering sound, and I caught occasional flashes of iridescence. Maybe she's wearing a bunch of sequined snakes. Maybe I should shut my mouth, I thought. The matriarch, sensing my hesitation, pressed her case. So, Miss Drake, what do you think? Is it, as you would say, a deal? Our knowledge in exchange for your help? If I had learned one thing from Charlie, it was to never pick a fight with anything the size of an 18-wheeler. Sure, matriarch. I'll listen, but on two conditions. I'm probably stretching my luck, but now I needed time to regain my composure in addition to finding a way out of this loony bin. One, I get a chance to get even with the joker who knocked me out. Done, agreed the matriarch with a throaty chuckle. It seems she had a fair idea of what I was up to, and probably even what I had in mind for Mr. Your Hair Smells Amazing. But I still had to try. And two, I continued casually, as if it were the most ordinary request in the world. We continue our little fact-fighting chat elsewhere, preferably in the sunshine. That, unfortunately, is impossible, said the matriarch with just a touch of sadness. However, we can now provide some light for your comfort. The tall woman with the smoker's voice was the first to light some kind of medieval-looking torch. She then offered the flames to each of the other figures in turn until all nine were lit. The place was starting to feel like a furnace when she and another figure walked a short way to either side of the group and lit two large fire pits. As the flames puffed and crackled higher, the ambient temperature of the cavern rose even more, as if it weren't already too damn hot in here. Seriously, where the hell am I? Blinking away from the sudden change in light and the unwelcome shedding of my completely adapted night vision, I caught my first glance of what could only be the matriarch. Holy fuck! I sputtered like an idiot. You're a dragon! Flabbergasted, I stood there like a slack-jawed yokel at the symphony. My mind simply refused to register what my eyes insisted was occupying the great space with me. The matriarch glided her enormous golden head lower, so her eyes were level with mine. She fixed me with a depthless emerald-green gaze and said in a low voice, "I am not the only dragon within this room, child." With a noticeable shimmer, each of the 9 cloaked figures melted into oblivion and were replaced by smaller versions of the matriarch.
"I don't think we're in Kansas anymore, Toto,"
I giggled hysterically, completely unable to function coherently, as my mind teetered on the edge of the abyss. I turned my back to the other occupants of the cave in a childish, last-ditch effort to save my ragged sanity.
"If I can't see it, it doesn't exist."
It was then that I caught a glimpse of my own impossibly dragon-shaped shadow. This final assault on my already overwrought brain was simply too much. "What the hell am I?" I thought, just before I slipped once again into the welcoming twilight of unconsciousness.
This has been Darkling Drake, written and read by Tawn Krakowski. Tune in to Tales from Tawnlandia every Wednesday for new episodes.